I don't know how many of y'all have seen any of the episodes of The Chosen. They do a good job, and we have permission to use that video. I think sometimes what happens is we read the Bible, and we treat it a little bit like fairy tales. Well, they weren't real people, or it was just, you know, it didn't really happen. It wasn't really history. And what I like is that they've helped us see and to be able to imagine it in the way it really is. It is real lives, real history, eyewitness accounts. Earlier in that day, Jesus' disciples had been with him, and one of the most remarkable miracles in the Bible had happened. They had gone off to some place, people found out, and this huge crowd showed up, thousands of people. They wanted to be near Jesus, they wanted to hear him speak. It wasn't something they sold tickets for. It wasn't planned in advance. They didn't have Ticketmaster managing all this or venue specialist. So all these thousands of people showed up, and when the day was getting over, Jesus had told his disciples, said, we need to feed the people before they leave because they got a long way to get home. The disciples rightly said, well, you know, we don't have any food, and they checked around and they found there's a kid nearby that had a Happy Meal. I know it wasn't really a Happy Meal, but he had a lunch. And most people had no idea what happened, but Jesus told his disciples to feed him. He prayed, and they were able to feed thousands of people with this small meal that kept multiplying. And at the end of it, each of the disciples had their own basket of leftovers. He wanted them to know that he really is God, that he is the provider. In this scene, they got to see that he was also Lord of nature. These miracles were happening to them in real time. Trying to figure out, what does all this mean? What is this? What's going on? I want to read to you the passage that the Bible uses to explain what happened in this circumstance. Right after Jesus had fed the thousands, it said, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. And when it says lake, this is like one of the Great Lakes. This is a huge lake, and they had storms constantly coming down from the mountains. It was really serious. He asked him to cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the edge of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. These were seasoned fishermen. They weren't afraid of rough water, but this was a tough storm. And you got to remember, they didn't have any Coast Guard, didn't have Marine Band radios. All of them had known people that had had boats that capsized and drowned. They were afraid. And then Jesus says this statement, "Take courage. I am here." He wants them to know beyond a doubt that he is with them, that he has what they need. And Peter, this account is mentioned twice in the New Testament. Once, this is from Matthew, but there's another account in Mark. Mark had relied on Peter for most of his eyewitness account information, and Mark leaves out the fact of Peter walking on the water. I think Peter asked him to leave it out. Not because Peter was embarrassed. Peter is the one that he was afraid like the rest of them. He sees Jesus and he has faith and he goes, "Jesus, you call me to come out. I can walk. I can walk on the water like you because I trust you. He gets out. He sees Jesus. Things are going well until he loses sight of Jesus and only looks at the waves and the storm, and then he falls. You know, we sometimes, I think we look at the disciples as a bunch of dimwits. Shame on us. We have records of them figuring all this out because they allowed it to happen. They could have edited it. We're used to people editing their own stories to look better. They didn't do that. In this case, we get to see real life figuring out, what is this like? And let's be honest, we're not that much different than them. And like them, all too often, those of us who profess faith in Jesus, we live like practical atheists. Practical atheism, I didn't invent it, but I love the term. It's where I mouth some allegiance, but in reality, I'm living something else. Yay, God, but then I roll up my sleeves. I'm going to take over. I'm going to figure out what to do. And we do it all the time. We see something as potentially dangerous or something going on, and we figure, well, I don't know if I can trust God to handle this, so I'm going to get in there and make things happen. Some of us are afraid. Some of us have lost our job. Some of us are afraid we're going to. How do we handle it? Do I go to God and trust him? Or I say, God, help me, and then we just go after it. Some of us, I'll do whatever I can to keep the job I've got. I'll make compromises ethically or morally because I don't want to lose my job because I need the money. Or maybe I've got a job, but I'm not going to do much there because I'm looking for the next one because I'm afraid I might lose this one. I mean, we figure out how to survive because we're afraid. Some of us have health scares. And, you know, I might say, Jesus, help me, but then I get on the internet and then I go after everything I can find. And I'm going to trust you or tell you, be careful about internet searches for health stuff. Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, some of the others have good, but there's some weird stuff there. I'm not going to get into that. That'd be a whole series. Financial stress. Well, I don't know what's going to happen to financially. I'm struggling. You know what one of the first things followers of Jesus do when they run into financial difficulty? They stop giving. I got to hang on to it. One day maybe, but not now. I've got to be careful now. I got to be careful about my future. We say we trust God, but it doesn't look that way. Loneliness. Does God really care about me being lonely? Does he even know I'm lonely? He's got a whole universe to run. And so in my loneliness, I'm going to figure out how to not be lonely. I'll hunt for a companion, and there are all kind of ways to do that. A lot of them require compromises and kind of giving up maybe some moral convictions, but I just don't want to be alone. Sometimes when we're hurting, we get the idea that maybe God just doesn't care or know. So we find ways to hide from what's been hurting us or to numb ourselves. Maybe we just spend all our time complaining like that's going to make us feel better. And, you know, we live in a world that is, as Javi prayed, we live in a world that is really, it's unsettled. And we can start thinking, I don't know where God is in all this, and I don't know if I can trust him. He's got the whole universe to run. Maybe he doesn't know what's happening here or there, wherever. And so we start making alliances, or we start doing things to coalesce some power, to have some control, and God's kind of left out of it, or we tack his name to something that is ungodly. Jesus may be acknowledged along the way, but he's not really trusted. And part of the reason is, like what happened with Peter, is whatever I focus on has my primary attention. And too often what happens is my problems, I focus on them and they become so much bigger than God. If you've got an iPhone, it probably works on Android too. You can set the focus on the camera and you have the focus on one thing, but everything else is kind of fuzzed out. Too many times we fuzz God out and we just focus on the problems, the issues, perceived or otherwise. And when we do, our faith dwindles. And we get into all kind of trouble. Throughout the Bible, we see this, that Jesus shows us his trustworthiness. whether in this case there was food, there was problems with the weather. I mean, there's not anything he doesn't have control over. He is absolutely trustworthy, no matter what you or I face. So I want you to take just a moment, because we're going to use this. I want you to think of something right now. It may be something you're dealing with right now, or something that you're thinking is coming up that has got you worried or fearful. Don't write it down. Don't elbow. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what they need to be thinking about. This is just you and Jesus. Something that you're afraid of, something you're concerned about now, or I think it may be looming ahead. And as you're doing that for yourself, I'd like you to think of some people around you that are struggling with fear. Maybe something right this minute, or they may be bogged down because of something they're anticipating that's coming, and they're just living really struggling. And what I'd like to do with those, thinking of those two questions, is I want you to join me, and I'm going to ask three questions that help us put our faith in Jesus in perspective, and very, very practical. These three questions are simple. There's nothing tricky with them. The first question is this: is there anything going on in my life or anyone else's that Jesus is unaware of? And I'm going to tell you, the biblical answer to that is no. But sometimes we act as if maybe he doesn't get it. No matter what's going on in my life and yours right this minute, he is aware of it, and he knows everything that's going to happen. He is completely aware of past, present, and future. Jesus' disciples learned this through trial and error. There was a time when they all came together and they realized who Jesus was. And they said, "Now we understand," it says in John 16, "that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this we believe that you came from God." They came to a conclusion because over time they kept seeing Jesus was never caught off guard or unaware. Utterly trustworthy. I'm not, he is. Sometimes we respond or we react to things as if somehow Jesus is unaware, God doesn't quite get it, maybe he doesn't really have control, and then that's when we slide into this practical atheism. I'm going to come up with a way to make it work, whether God endorses it or not. Is there anything going on in my life that Jesus is unaware of? The answer to that is absolutely not. No. Second question. Is there anything I'm facing where I have to go through it alone without Christ's help? Followers of Jesus can absolutely answer that with no. I never, ever have to go through anything alone. He is always there to help me. He said simply to Peter, he said, "Take courage, I am here." He said it to Peter, but he said it to all his disciples. And he's going to show them over and over again, "You can take courage because I am here." We have God's Holy Spirit living in us. They had Jesus' physical presence. We now have his spiritual presence. Every one of us that have accepted him have his spirit living inside us. We have his. He's always with us. Jesus made this promise. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. And the reason we can trust him is because he sacrificed his life for us. He made these promises and he was resurrected to prove he is God, that he is good, and that we can absolutely depend on him. Peter, who becomes one of the leaders in the church, he writes to a church later. And I want you to listen. And Peter learned this, and we fortunately get to learn from his example. He says, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor." It doesn't say on your time or mine. You know, Jesus didn't stop the storm because he realized they were getting a little nervous. He used the storm. He used the struggle. He used what they were going through to help them see he is dependable and he's always with them. You and I have things that we're going to go through that we would prefer not to. But God has a bigger purpose in mind than you and I just being comfortable in the moment. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, His time, what He knows is best, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God because He cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. There is never a promise that if I follow Jesus, that suffering will be over. There's things that we're going to have to deal with, and God has His purposes and all that. We don't necessarily get to see all the whys. He's just promised that He is with us. Peter is saying, humble yourselves and rely on God as your number one source. And then he also, I think he's indicating too, you need to rely on your other brothers and sisters in the church. You know, talks about Satan's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Lions love it when there are sheep that are out roaming around by themselves. That's just a McDonald's snack to them. When sheep are in a herd, that's a different story. When you have a flock of them, that's different. But when you go off on your own, you're easy prey. At New Hope, and many churches do this, we have small groups. We have it for our adults. We have it for all different ages. We have our children's ministry that's going on right now. We have Celebrate Recovery for people that are trying to deal with specific issues. We do the same thing with the landing. That's basically a Celebrate Recovery for middle and high school students. We have Takeover for our middle and high schools. We have all kinds of things where you can be part of a group where you don't have to go through anything alone. And guaranteed there are going to be people there that understand what you're going through and have been through it or are going through it currently. So you can team up. This is what we get to do with each other. In a broken world, we come alongside each other. And listen to this in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. What we'd like to read that is say, always keeping us from having to deal with any trouble. It's not what it says. In a broken world, we're going to have trouble. So God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. No matter what, my God has promised to take care of me and you. He is ready to help. Just like Jesus said, take courage. I am here. Third question, is there anything I am facing or will later that God is unable to use for good for me and for others? And the answer to that is no. Does it mean in the moment I know what He's doing? You know, sometimes we'll say, God, if you'll just tell me what's going on, then I'll decide if I'm going to follow you or not. He doesn't bargain that way. He's not interested in negotiating with us. Parents, you know what that's like. How many times have your kids done that to you? Well, let's go back. How many times did you do that to your parents? Well, you tell me, explain everything to me, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do. It doesn't work that way. And the truth is, there are a lot of things, if God told us the whole story, it would freak us out. He knows what's best. He'll never give us more than we can handle with Him, but He'll seldom give us less. I've got a couple of these episodes in my life. I've mentioned this, I'm sure, many times before, but my dad was a relatively new Christian. He became a follower of Jesus late in his life, and we got the call that he had been out on a walk, he felt some tightness in his chest, and he went to the doctor, and surprisingly, they said, you need triple bypass surgery immediately. And Becky and I rushed where we were, got to be at the hospital. I stayed with him that night in his room so that my mom could get some rest. And early the next morning, they came in and woke him up. And I remember Dad sitting on the side of the bed. I was in one of those really nice, not really that nice, chairs that are supposed to be like beds. It was not a spa. But I wasn't getting ready to have triple bypass either. Dad sat up on the edge of the bed and looked at the nurse, and he goes, "Well, you may not see me again. If not, I'll be with Jesus. If you do see me again, that means he's got work for me to do." And that was all he said. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He wasn't trying to show off. But I've never forgotten it. Take courage. I'm here. And he took Jesus at his word. And that's part of his legacy. We can handle anything when we know we're with Jesus. Listen to this in Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." It doesn't say that everything that happens to us is good. It just says God can take even things intended for evil or harm. He can, anything that comes our way, he can use it for good. Sometimes it might be we got ourselves in a mess and he wants to teach us something, a lesson to learn. It could be others have intended something, have done wrong. It doesn't matter. He can take anything that comes our way and use it for good in our life, but more than that. I mean, constantly God is using difficulty and struggles for us to help us grow in our faith. He wants that for sure. But he also wants to do this too. Is he wants us to be living examples of what he can do in a life surrendered to him. So that others will see what he's doing and be inspired to trust. Not impressed with us, but inspired. And people will say, "I want what you've got. I want to know that God that is carrying you through. I need that." We are his show and tell. And there may be things you're going through right now. You have no idea why God's allowed it to happen. He doesn't owe you an explanation. There'll be a time when history wraps up, and we're going to see the whole story. We'll see everything that was going on. But right now, it's this. Am I trusting him? And am I living in such a way that others might see something good about him in my life as I walk through this really, really tough time? Am I living in a way that others might be inspired to trust him too because they see how he's carrying me through? There's a reason that the moment you become a follower of Jesus, he doesn't just zap you onto heaven. Well, I wish he would. The world's screwed up. Well, I won't get into that either. But he doesn't. He leaves us here because he's got work to do. He wants others to see what he can do. He's using us constantly if we'll let him. What are we going to do? We're having Lord's Supper today. And I want to challenge you as we have the Lord's Supper together to remind yourself that our faith is in him. What is he wanting to do in and through my life? What am I going through right now where maybe I've moved into the practical atheism and I've not really trusted him? And the Lord's Supper reminds us that there is someone that deeply, deeply loves us. He gave his life so that we would be free and forgiven. And that we could live lives now that show the reality of his love and his grace and his kindness and what he offers others. If you've not accepted Jesus yet, watch us. Each of us individually will go to the tables, we'll get the bread and the juice, and we're going to have our own private worship between us and God, thanking him for what he's done, but also reminding ourselves, I need to trust him right now. Whatever it is you might have thought of earlier that you're worried about, you're afraid about, or it's dominating your life. God, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to take courage because you are here. And as you do that for yourself, I also want to encourage you to think of some people around you that are struggling and hurting and pray for them. It's not that we have to. We get to pray for the people around us. And there are some that are struggling a lot right now. They have real fears. They have real concerns. They have real heartaches that they're dealing with. After I pray, this is kind of how it'll work. We've got four tables. We have two here, two in the middle, the balcony. We have tables up there, and we have one in the atrium. After I pray, you'll come to one of those tables when you're ready. You'll take the juice. Someone will hand it to you, the juice, and there's cups that have little bread things. And then we also have the gluten-free. I know some people struggle with issues with gluten, so there's gluten-free. Check the tables. You go, and when you come, if you're down here, if you would just go through the center aisles and go to the tables and go back to your seat. And when you go back, just hold onto the two cups and give God your undivided attention. If there's something you need to clear up with Him or something you need to remind yourself of, do that. And when you're ready, on your own, you take the cup with the bread and the cup with the juice. You're not waiting. We're not going to do this as a group. And as you're praying, ask God to help you be someone that takes courage because you remember that Jesus is here right now with us, with you. This is our privilege. It's also our responsibility. Let me pray, and then we'll worship Him together. God, in these next few minutes, these are for you. For many of us, you've been trying to get our attention. We've been too busy, or we've been caught up in our own agendas. And this is a time now where we can focus and allow you to speak and us to listen. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.